Good to have you with us. Take your Bibles, if you would please, and turn to the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. While you're turning there, I'll give you a little background. Jeremiah wrote this. 29th chapter is a letter to the exiled Jews who had been taken captive by Babylon. This was Judah. Israel went into captivity many years prior to this. Now Judah is taken captive by Babylon. And God uses Jeremiah to encourage the Jewish people who are in captivity. And this captivity would last 70 years. You can read it a couple of verses prior to what we're going to look at this morning. And once that 70 years was finished, God's promise was that he would come, take them out of captivity, bring them back to Israel, restore them as a nation in their homeland. It was a future hope for them. And he ties it all together with this verse. Chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans that I purpose concerning you, saith the Lord. Plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future hope. The Authorized Version reads, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. There mean the same thing, just the wording is a little different. But this verse is a promise to Israel that God was going to visit them one day, 70 years after their captivity, and bring them back to the land. What a wonderful thing. But if you allow me the freedom this morning to kind of lift this passage and make an application to believers today, because I think it certainly touches on our lives. It certainly speaks to us. It certainly is a wonderful promise from God that we can hold on to in our lives. There are just three thoughts that I have about this verse, and we'll be done. Number one, I want you to notice God has a plan, or a general plan. God has a general plan for all who come to know him. Every person that comes to know Christ through the drawing agency of the Holy Spirit, God has a plan for them. If you're not saved, you would not know about this plan. But if you're saved, you know it. In fact, the first thing in God's plan for those who know him is that they would trust him as their Savior. Amen? That they would come to know the joy of knowing Christ. He has a general plan in mind for all those that come to trust him. He has a general will for all who come to trust him. Number one, their salvation. Number two, that they would grow, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. God wants each individual Christian to grow. We're not to be stagnated. We're not to sit around. We're not to only use what we hear preached on Sunday to make our growth rate. We're supposed to be studying that word ourselves. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a work that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants you to be able to understand the Bible, to compare the Bible, and apply the Bible to your life. So there needs to be growth. And one of God's plans for us is that we would grow. God wants us to grow. So not only are there salvation and their growth in this general plan for God, but God wants us to have a knowledge of him. Growing grace, third chapter of 2 Peter, growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way, that I may know him, fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. Do you know him? I'm not asking if you know about him, but do you know him? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you know him? Are you living out a life that is related to him, that moves in him? The Bible says, "We're Christ is the one in whom we live and move and have our being." Are you learning about him? So God has a plan for all who know him. Number one, that they trust him. Number two, that they would grow. Number three, that they would grow in their knowledge of him. And number four, that they would live in peace, or they'd know peace. One of the great things about coming to Christ is the peace he brings in our heart. Amen? Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I'm so glad that we can have peace that passes, the Bible says, all understanding. God promises to give us peace. Now, we'll have difficulty, there's no doubt. We'll have trials, no doubt. But God's desire is to work through the trials to cause your heart to be at peace with him. So it doesn't matter the circumstance of life, God will give us peace. Amen? So there's a general plan God has. And it says here, "For I know the plans that I purpose concerning you." God's not caught off guard about your life. God knows exactly what he's doing and when he's doing it. He's a sovereign God. He's taking care of the walk and the work in your life. So God has a general plan. Secondly, I think God has a personal plan for each one of us. A personal plan. Notice this plan has a purpose. God is orchestrating, listen very carefully, God is orchestrating your life. Everything that happens in your life has a purpose planned by God. "For I know the plans that I purpose for you. Plans of good and not of evil to give you a future." God has a plan for each one of us. And he is orchestrating that plan to carry out his purpose all the way home. Amen? So no matter what happens to us, no matter how we're going, no matter where we're going, God is working out his plan, moving you, changing your location, raising you up, sometimes slowing you down, but God's in the business of purposing your life, and he's better at it than anybody else in the world. When we get ourselves in the mix, and we think we've got a better plan than God's, it's a mistake. We mess up. This plan is, by the way, tailor-made for you. My plan that God has for me is not the same plan he has for you. They're not identical. He's not leading you the same way or the same direction or with the same things or motivating you by the same purpose as he is. But God has a plan for you. An individual, personal, purposed plan tailored only for you. And by the way, only you can fulfill the plan. I can't fulfill the plan for you. Only you can fulfill the plan God has for you. There's a third thing I think about this plan that he has for you and I. This plan has only the best in mind. He says plans of good, not of evil. Only the best in mind. A friend of ours, we've known for years, John Zimmer. John and his brothers all went to the same college. Two of his older brothers graduated before him and became missionaries to a little island in the South Pacific called Yap. It's a tiny, tiny island that probably 8 or 9 islands that make up the country called Yap. There are only 12,000 people in this country. And these two brothers went to Yap to start churches. Just an unusual ministry. John was not led that way and decided to become his own boss. Made a business and it became very well run and earned him a lot of money. And he took a few weeks off and decided to fly down to Yap to see his brothers. On the way to Yap, he made a stop in a little island called Palau. And so he got on his plane, flew to Guam. That's a 16-hour flight. Then it's 4 hours to fly to Palau, and then a couple hours to Yap. So he got on the plane in Guam to fly to Yap. He sat out next to a lady he did not know. And he started up a conversation with her, began to tell her about his brothers that are on Yap and what they're doing and how they're helping them. This lady starts crying. Said, "I'm sorry. She said, no. She said, "But I'm from Palau. And who will go to Palau? Who's going to go to Palau and help my people? We need that gospel. We need that story. Who's going to go?" Finished his trip and went to Yap. And he could not get out of his mind the thought that that lady gave him. He flew all the way back to South Carolina. Sitting in his home one day, I told his wife, "We're going to Plow. God wants us to go to Plow." Now that could not have been orchestrated by man. Nobody would have thought of that. Nobody would have thought to put a lady on a plane with a man who's flying to Yap to see his brothers, who was from South Carolina, had his own business. Nobody would have said that plan other than God. Because God's plans are right. God's plan is good. And it was good for John. John and Jamie went there. The first couple of months he was there, he had a lot of problems. There are witch doctors on the island of Palau. One of them found out that John was there and wanted him killed. So he instructed one of the men that he knew to go up and meet John and act like he liked him and take him fishing. Now, inside the reef that goes around Palau, you're pretty safe. You can swim in that water. Once you're outside the reef, it's not healthy to swim in that water. There are sharks. Big sharks, tiger sharks, bull sharks. So John said, yes, he'd go fishing, and the man took him outside the reef, unknown to John. And then they dove down for fish and brought him back in the boat. They got in the boat. And so he told John, it was his turn to go and spear fish. So when John got in the water, this man caught several fish, threw them in the water. A shark can smell blood underwater from 3 miles away. John was a dead man. John looked down. The man could see the sharks coming, knew that it was doomed for John. John didn't know. John just swam down there and speared a couple of fish, swam up to the top, got in the boat, said, "Man, that was exciting." The shark didn't come. The bite did not happen. The death did not occur. Here's the interesting thing. Through that experience, John witnessed the witch doctor. The first person saved in Palau was this witch doctor. God has a plan, and it works out perfect every single time. And I thought one other thing under this plan, personal plan for each of us. This plan has a built-in lifetime warranty, all God's people say. He says, "I know the plans I purpose concerning you, plans of good, not of evil, to give you a future hope, a hopeful future." Don't you know, God is in the taking care of business, the keeping business, and he has put a warranty in our life that says we are immortal until Jesus comes or God comes to take us home. Nothing can harm you. Nothing can take you. Nothing can hurt you. God is taking care of you with his unlimited lifetime warranty. All God's people say. How many ever bought a warranty on the car? Limited lifetime warranty. You turn it in. You go to get it fixed. Well, actually, they say that part wasn't covered. But we can do that part for $200. What about, well, that part's not covered either. That part costs you $500. By the time you get done, you're spending $3,000 to $4,000 for a warranty. It really is a limited warranty. God's warranty is never limited. It lasts forever. God has a plan. This is a wonderful verse that tells us God has a plan in general. God has a plan, personal or specific. And I think one other thing, God has a plan, a lasting plan for the church, for this family. This plan, he says, promises us a future hope. God's plan for Salem Baptist Church began in the late 1700s. Think with me for a moment. God's plan for Salem Baptist Church started in the late 1700s, just after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. This church started. They weren't allowed, prior to that, no one was allowed to use the name Baptist in Virginia. This was a church modeled after the Church of England. It was an Anglican state. No church could take the name other than Anglican. And to take an Anglican name mean you would compromise many of the things and principles that are strongly committed to the Baptist. So rather than take the name, they just meant anyhow. And after the Constitution was made and it was granted. Then people could call themselves Baptist. That's what this church did. And it became Salem Baptist Church of Chesterfield, Virginia. 230 years. Any 230 years. God's plan for Salem has not stopped. Oh, you hit some bumps. You've had some hardships. But I don't think God's finished with you yet. In your corporate influence, God has a plan. You know, you're an influence in this area, and you're an influence in this state. It's a corporate influence. In your witness, many have come to Christ in this ministry. Amen. God's brought many to Christ. Some of you are sitting here today came to Christ through this ministry. You look at us and say, well, there's not many here. Well, you've hit some hard times. Amen. That doesn't mean we quit. Doesn't mean we fold up shop. You've watched God's plan as you've been a light in Chester. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God has a plan for your current responsibility. You're to be faithful. You're to be perfect. You're to be loving. You're to be caring. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Or to keep community. Amen. It's important in the church. And we're to stay the course. Don't quit. No matter what happens, don't quit. And one last thing, we're to look forward. Amen? Yeah. To that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We look forward. Back in 2006, when I was pastor in Michigan, I sat down in my office and just put some thoughts on paper about home. Can I read it to you? Now, remember, this is 2006. I am from Schwartz Creek, Michigan. I live in Schwartz Creek, Michigan. When I'm away and I'm coming back, I do not say, oh, how I look forward to getting back to Schwartz Creek. I say, oh, how I long to get home. Home is a sweet word, a lovely word, and in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5 alludes to the thought of heaven being like home. Songwriters, poets, preachers have all used this wonderful word so full of meaning to describe their final place, the last stop on their pilgrimage to the better land. Past the swelling tide, toward peaceful waters flow, home. Home is not a place where strangers meet nor where formalities are necessary. It's not a place where you are out of place. Home is where the gate of joy deferred is left to where the path of happiness is clearly marked. Home is where love's embrace is the most tender. Where the family gathers and you catch up on the lives of those you've not seen for a while. No shadow dwells there, nor sickness, nor pain, nor death. The master's there, looking, waiting, longing for our arrival, where he will greet us at the gate to our Father's house, and we will then be home. All God's people said. Well, we're going to go home someday. And when we get home, we'll never be apart again. Thank God for his plan for our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Your pledge to those who love you. God, you're so good. You're so gracious. You're so kind. May we ever be thankful to you. We pray, Jesus.